Good morning, this is the Eager Beaver Show.
You are listening to a True North Eager Beaver Media Incorporated podcast. The True North Eager Beaver podcasts are proudly brought to you by our founding sponsors, the Misfy Mysteries from Corvid Moon Publishing, your source for science fiction, fantasy, and cozy mysteries featuring a broad diversity of characters, CanadianTarot.com, your uniquely Canadian online eclectic tarot community, and the Peppermaster, hot pepper sauces made from farm-fresh ingredients to thrill your taste buds and expand your mind.
We're live, sir.
Good morning, and hello, kids. Yes, I was speaking. Am I not in time with anyone else?
Just go. Go.
Good morning and hello, kits, and welcome to season 3 and episode number 330 of the Daily Beaver Morning Show here on the Cryer Media Network. Yeah. Today, recording day is Monday, March 4th, 2024. It feels like a day like that. I'm having all types of trouble here at the Beaver Lodge with the computer. Does not seem to want to cooperate, so I'm a bit sorry for the late start and for any delay. I'm your host, the Eager Beaver, pronouns he, Mr. Beaver A, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Mr. Big. Thank you goes to our podcast founding sponsors, the Peppermaster, the Misfy Mysteries from Corvid Moon Publishing, and CanadianTarot.com. Ah, Mr. Grizzly. How's your mental health today?
My physical health is in the toilet. I've been sick all weekend. I've been in bed the whole day, Saturday, all day Sunday. And I don't know how much time I can do this morning. I'll be in bed all day today again. I'm just feeling like garbage, coughing up nasty stuff, just hell.
I'm so sorry to hear that you don't have anything like I did.
No, I do.
I'm still not fully... Yeah, I'm still not fully recovered, and it's now been over 2 weeks. So I hope that's not the case for you. It's going to be a short show, kids, today because it's the third Monday, which means I have to be at the Curling Arena at 7 o'clock, and computer didn't want to cooperate with us to get us started on time, so it's going to be an extra short show.
So 7 o'clock?
Let's get to it. 7 o'clock? What?
You said you had to be at the Curling Club for 7 o'clock.
Okay, sorry, no, 9.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I was very confused.
If I said set 9.
I was
right. All right, Kits and Cubs, don't know how the show's going to go because I don't know what you're hearing at your end. Between me and Mr. Grizzly, there's a bit of a delay here.
About 5 seconds.
All right. I won't be able to do the show that I had. I'm thrown, to be totally honest, at the moment because nothing is working, nothing computer fast as well. Let's see what we have. Today is, of course, by-election day. If you live in the electoral district of Durham is a conservative stronghold, so we are told, and we are told that it's pretty much assured Jamil Javani will win there. But it doesn't seem that there was much polling that has been done over the course of the campaign. There's a Liberal candidate, Robert Rock, is there as well. I don't know the candidates from the other parties. They have not distinguished themselves in any particular way to get much press outside Durham, so it seems to be a contest between the is Donnie, of course, a conservative candidate who has been a little the most significant thing he did in his entire campaign was published that video where he used, my God, my brain's not working today, Prime Minister Trudeau of being a racist because he referred to him as a twofer, an ideologue, and an insider. And Mr. chose to interpret that as being a racist statement and went to town on that. And after that, we never really heard from him or of him ever again, except for one photo where he had boxing fists and he too showed it. He couldn't really make boxing fists like Pierre Poilievre. Other than that's been about it for the campaign. In addition to the fact that Mr. Giovanni, yeah, I hope that the citizens of Durham do not take to that very well and decide not to vote for him, as it should be no debate, no vote. That should be your basic rule. But as we know, Canadians don't really vote that way, it appears. Yes, and Giovanni is also a parachuted in candidate who doesn't also live in the riding. But these things seem to matter less and less to voters these days for some reason. We'll see what happens there. In other news, we mentioned it the other day, but today is the day in France where they will be taking that final vote to see if they add abortion to their constitution, abortion rights. France says that they want to become the country of women's rights. They would be the first country in the entire world to enshrine abortion as a right, as a fundamental right in their constitution. And President Emmanuel Macron says that they want to make sure that is done and enacted by March 8th, which is very soon, which would be International Women's Day. So please keep your ears to the ground for that. In other international news, in terms of democracy, the Super Tuesday is coming on in the United States for the primaries. There'll be about 15 states voting for their delegates. It's assumed that on the Republic side that Donald Trump will win all of those, but yesterday he lost his first primary in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is mainly a Democratic city, but of the Republicans that are there and who voted, 66% voted for Nikki Haley in that one. So it is his first loss. Of course, Donald Trump, because he's such a magnanimous and a good loser, turned around and deemed or dubbed Nikki Haley as being the queen of the swamp. So I was like, of course, if there's one place in the United States of America where Nikki Haley would win a primary, it would be Washington, D.C., because it's the swamp. Of course, he won Washington, D.C., and it wasn't the swamp then, right? He wasn't king of the swamp then, but hey.
Actually, wasn't his whole moniker at the time, clean up the swamp?
Yep. Drain the swamp. Dude, you are the swamp. You're the swamp thing.
Yeah.
Remember some horror movies back from the day? You're the swamp thing, dude. But Nikki Haley became the first Republican woman to ever win a primary by winning Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. So that's going on, and it seems that the Supreme Court might be making a decision today on whether or not individual states can keep Donald Trump off the ballot. This all started in Colorado. There's a couple of other states that tried. It seems that the Supreme Court, based on what analysis are saying, that are leaning to say that one state cannot determine on itself whether or not a president can be a candidate. But the thing is that it's not just one state. There are several states that want to do it, but each state wants to do it on their own. So I guess the Supreme Court is going to try to find a way to get out of it, is to take some narrow view and say one state alone can't decide this, even though many states want to do it at the same time. It seems that even the Democratic appointed judges on the Supreme Court are a little skeptical, particularly of that move. So why have the option if you're never going to be able to use it? I find that a little weird, but that is going on. And then of course there's everything else going on, including the fact that his first criminal case specifically might be starting soon, because all the cases he's lost so far have been civil cases. The one in New York for having falsified documents with regard to his payment of hush money to Stormy Daniels looks like will be the next case that will be starting, and that's his first actual criminal case. And the other one in Florida, it looks like with regard to the documents the willful retaining of documents, of national defense documents and nuclear documents and that type of stuff, will be starting a little later. And I don't know where the Georgia case is on the roster yet for cases that will start, because that one too is a big one. But in the one with the documents case, that's the one that Judge Eileen Cannon, the one who's very favorable to him and keeps on delaying stuff, is presiding. So we'll see what happens there, whether or not we'll get a trial before the actual election in that one, which should happen because, again, casting a fully informed vote, Americans should have a chance to know, given that these procedures have been started early enough, whether or not the courts have ruled, or jury of their peers, or whether it's a bench ruling, no matter how he goes, have ruled that Donald Trump is indeed a criminal. It seems to be at the minimum that could be expected. So we'll see what happens there. There seems to be some controversy also in that it is suggested that if she makes a decision that would push this election, past election, it is very possible, given that she's been judicial review type bodies, when that you can take a really bad decision too, if it's not just a matter of law, but of a judge's behavior. They overturned her on the previous time that she was ruling on his case. And if they would do that again, then there would be an opportunity that the case could be reassigned, which would increase its odds of happening before the election. So Judge Eileen Cannon is walking some type of tightrope there, where she is trying not to be seen as favoring Trump while trying to give Trump exactly what he's asking for. You can bet that Jack Smith, who used to prosecute at the International Criminal Court, would certainly be making an application there if he sees that she's being a little too brazenly pro-Trump. We'll see what happens with that, my friends. Yeah, in Georgia, they're trying to disqualify the DA first, which, even if they disqualify the DA, that doesn't throw the case out of court. It just means there would be a new DA trying the same case. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, other than the fact that Donald Trump seems to have a problem with black women.
You think?
Oh, man. Weather-wise, if you're living in Saskatchewan in particular, you guys got walloped. We feel for you. Seems that there's going to be a pretty brutal cold snap from some parts of Alberta all the way to northern Ontario. Please keep warm. If you're in those areas, it might be a good time to start giving a call to City Hall to pressure people to open up armories or community centers or something to make sure that the appropriate warming centers are there for those who are homeless, because it looks like it's going to be quite a bitter cold coming your way, if it isn't already there. Mr. Grizzly, do you happen to have anything today?
In all honesty, no, I don't. I spent the entire weekend in bed. I don't know what took place. I'm just trying to get caught up on stuff right now, and I'm a little out of it, both mentally, emotionally, and physically. Both, all three. I'm just not there. I don't even know what went on in Ottawa this weekend. I literally didn't do a damn thing. The only thing I'm really fully aware of today is the by-election in Durham, and that's the only thing I'm getting any news on. Yeah, and I'm just reading about the Saskatchewan snowstorm. I do know that they had a massive snowstorm in Northern California where they got just walloped with something like almost 3 meters of snow.
Yeah.
In the mountains, yeah, exactly. Of course, but.
Yeah. And yeah, in Saskatchewan, the massive snowstorm they're clearing. And if you live there, authorities are telling people to please stay home at the moment because they are trying to clear the streets over there.
I can't even seem to find any pictures on it right now. I'm just looking for it and not coming up with a darn thing, which is weird. Normally there's tons of, maybe it's so bad the Wi-Fi is out everywhere. Who knows? But I can't seem to find anything. I see some interesting maps and some strange textbook things from a school that I'm told is from a story of November 12th, 2022. Did dinosaurs and humans coexist as controversial Saskatchewan textbook claims? We asked an expert. Loch Ness monster cited by text as proof that dinosaurs still exist, also a myth, paleontologist. So I guess there's some, I don't know if this is part of an independent curriculum in some private school in Saskatchewan, but they're saying something to the effect that, let's see, I've got this image here I'll put on the screen in a second, because it's very disturbing to me that anybody would think or believe anything of this nature.
I'll just blow it up as much as I can here. Yeah, and that doesn't do anything. It's funny, when you go to blow up an image, unless you save the image separately, it doesn't. I'll save it and blow it up. Just give me a sec. It's an excerpt from a textbook, I'm told, in Saskatchewan. And Saskatchewan text. Let's see what this is here. I'll bring it up and put it on the screen so you can all see it in a second here. Apparently, it is from a textbook in a private school somewhere in Saskatchewan. And I'm like, this is a what? I don't know what to say other than that. It just seems bizarre, if you ask me. Okay, that's loaded up. Okay, give me a sec here. I'll put it on the screen. Oops. So it says, fossils. The term dinosaur was coined from two Greek words meaning terrible and lizard. Although we usually think of the larger dinosaurs, most were probably about the size of a horse or smaller. Biblical and scientific evidence. Don't know what that means. Seems to indicate that men and dinosaurs lived at the same time. We know that to not be true. Man didn't come around until, what, 80 million years later? So it looks like a creation scientist, which I don't even know what that is talking about how dinosaurs and humans lived at the same time. This is really disturbing to teach some nonsense like this, because we know that is factually incorrect. And says, dear rest of Canada, the reason Saskatchewan keeps trending is because our provincial government refuses to stop using tax money to schools that peddle kids and teach them garbage like this. So Saskatchewan's in the news for all the wrong reasons today, which is par for the course with Mo.
Yeah. The other little bit of news, there's been lots of news as well, but the other little bit of news, since we were talking about Trump earlier, and if we talk about the self-professed governor, Republican governor of the great state of Etobicoke, Doug Ford, mm-hmm. It seems that he's got another point in common with Trump, according to the Toronto Star. The Ontario government has been hit with scores of claims from construction companies that say they were left on the hook for money they spent to keep critical public infrastructure projects moving ahead during the pandemic. Several of the firms have taken the province to court, where they are seeking hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. So far, the province has reached settlements for 67 different claims, government officials said. However, the government will not say how much it paid in settlements or how many other claims it's facing. Despite declaring a province-wide state of emergency in March 2020 to slow the spread of COVID-19, several companies say the government refused to admit that the pandemic constituted an emergency for their projects. What the firms alleged was a breach of contract. This emergency status would have entitled the companies to more money and time. The province has argued in court that project agreements made construction companies responsible for added costs as they negotiate claims. Government officials say they are trying to shield taxpayers from runaway COVID-related expenses. So basically, Doug Ford is stiffing his contractors.
Yeah, which is not a tremendous surprise, really. He's got to, if he loves Trump as much as he says he does, he's going to follow right in his footsteps and not pay the people who did the work that needed to be done.
Yeah. That's always, that makes you feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, not really.
So he's stiffing construction people. He's canceling Service Ontario contracts. He's giving other big companies money that he never gave the Service Ontario people to do the same job. Then the Service Ontario contracts that he gave, he took away part of their business with his whole deal on license renewals. And then, of course, there's about to, oh, yeah, there's also that about $8 billion of public wealth he tried to transfer to people.
Yeah. That was federal money, too, wasn't it?
Yes. I don't know about that federal money. The Greenbelt stuff. I
mean. Oh, the Greenbelt. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. No, I'm referring to the missing. That was,
oh, yes.
Was that $4 billion that he's missing?
We're at $4 billion now, at least, I think. I don't know if that was $4 billion twice or $4
billion total. How do you lose $4 billion, really? Like, how do you unaccount for $4 billion? 4,000? Okay. Yeah. Minor rounding error. Sure. Okay. 40,000? That's suspect. 400,000? Hey, hang on a second here. 4 million? What's going on? 4 billion? Somebody needs to go to prison. That's theft of public funds on a grand scale.
Or misappropriation or misdirection or something. But
something.
Something. Yeah. Because, yeah. Let's see. $4 billion is, yeah, that's a lot to lose.
Yeah,
there's definitely a lot to lose. What else we have? Another weekend. Another world champion.
Oh.
Kits and Cubs. Sarah Mitten set a Canadian record and claimed the gold medal in the women's shot put at the World Athletics Indoor Championships in Glasgow, Scotland on Friday. Her record throw on her sixth and final attempt measured 20.22 meters, which I believe might be the first time a Canadian woman passed 20 meters. The silver medal went to somebody who threw 20.19 meters.
Close.
Yes, I know. And said, it feels amazing to win my first global title. I'm really excited by the distances all the women are throwing. It always comes down to small margins. Scotland's definitely my new favorite place outside of Nova Scotia. I'll be coming back. I hope so. Canadians only won one medal at the World Indoor Track and Field Championships. I don't know if we sent a full team or if it was like the World Swimming Championships where some people who already had spots stayed back in order to allow other people a chance to qualify because the Olympics are coming up this summer in Paris. Mm-hmm. But it's still nice to have yet another Canadian champion. So a file under Canadians who make us proud and Canadian girls kick ass.
And some bad news out New Brunswick's way. A covered bridge potato chips factory in Heartland burned to the ground on Friday evening.
Yes.
They're the ones who came up with the storm chips.
Oh, they're the storm chips.
Yeah, Covered Bridge Potato Chip Company. Yeah, the whole factory burned right to the ground, and it was locally owned and a major employer in the town, so that's not good. Hopefully they're insured, but I think they were expanding the building too when the fire may have started in the expansion area. I'm not sure.
Oh, darn.
No one was hurt in the fire, though, so that's good, but it is completely gone. Totally devastated. There's nothing left. It's just a pile of ash.
Hmm. I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's unfortunately sometimes that happens with businesses. And that was a big blaze. I've got some video footage of it here from the CBC. I'll put it on the screen in a sec. Blow it up. And you take a look at it here. I don't know if there's any audio in the recording or not. I haven't listened for it, but I can share you the imagery. This is it's what you call a massive fire.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, very big.
Jeez.
Yeah, the whole thing is burnt right to the ground. There's nothing left. That is an inferno. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of smoke.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of smoke, a lot of fire, a lot of flames. Hopefully, like I said, thankfully nobody was harmed, but the whole thing's burnt right to the ground. There's nothing left. That's what you call a five-alarm fire. You'd need massive amounts of trucks to try and put that out, and there was just no go.
Yeah. You got Kit Christian on the chat going, I've been to a few that large.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Christian,
you... He's a firefighter.
You're a firefighter, yeah. Jeez. I have to say something about firefighters, man, because I'd be pooping my pants.
Oh, yeah.
Having to face that.
Yeah, definitely.
Jeez. The other thing that happened over the course of the weekend, as you may have heard, is that Prime Minister was welcoming Italian Prime Minister Meloni to Canada over the course of the weekend.
And yes, I heard that there was a big
protest in Toronto, pro-Palestinian protest, that prompted everyone, authorities, to have to scrap the event, according to the CBC. Investigators with the Toronto Police Services are reviewing whether illegal activity occurred during a Saturday pro-Palestinian protest that led Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's team to cancel a reception to host a visiting G7 leader. The Saturday evening event at the Art Gallery of Ontario was meant to cap off a day of meetings between Trudeau and Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, but it was abruptly cancelled after demonstrators shouting pro-Palestinian slogans blocked entrances to the building and prevented many attendees from getting in. Trudeau's office said Saturday neither he nor Meloni were able to enter the venue, which briefly went into lockdown. International Development Minister Ahmad Hussein was seen walking for two blocks with a police escort to find an unoccupied entrance. TPS spokesperson Stephanie Sayer said police were in contact with the Prime Minister's security team, who were told officers were prepared to provide secure access to the building for Trudeau. She said that the Toronto Police Services did not recommend that the event be cancelled. Ultimately, the Prime Minister's team decided not to proceed, Sayer said in a statement. It was not a TPS's recommendation that the event be cancelled, and many guests were already inside. Sayer said approximately 400 protesters were gathered outside the AGO. There were no injuries or arrests, though police are continuing to investigate what happened. Protests are made to disrupt things, of course, and are meant to disrupt things. But yeah, there's starting to be some questions as to whether or not these are all necessarily, well, let me not put it this way, all the protests are genuine, whether all the protesters are genuinely there for the cause, for the pro-Palestinian cause, or whether some people are co-opting these protests in order to such disruptions. So probably there might be some investigations with regard to that as well going on, unfortunately. So yeah, but we're hitting a phase where we might need to find different ways to be able to schedule these type of events. Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat here. Kits, my voice, sorry. Because the prime minister of a country, regardless of the stripe, still has to be able to do their work at some point. And there's a lot of events being canceled or rescheduled at the moment. So, yeah, guess Kitsasi says, protesting is becoming a problem because the main faces of protests seem to be the same people causing trouble for everyone. It's not good and will cause overreach from police to bring it in line.
Yeah, that's indeed what's going to happen.
Yeah, and as we've said a few times on the show now, political speech is held in highest regard with regard to the law and with regard to rights because it's essential to the functioning of a democracy. When we say you can protest, but you can't protest any damn way you please, it's because, one, yes, we want order and public safety and all that type of stuff as well, but you don't want to create a situation where you are exactly giving authorities reasons to start cracking down on this most fundamental right and essential right, particularly when you're expressing yourself. Being able to express your displeasure in your government is very important. And as Jillian says, provocateurs, not protesters. If provocateurs are showing up at any protest of any kind and are just turning it into some type of carnival or event that could be dangerous, at some point somebody's going to come along and say, maybe we have to have stricter and more restrictive rules with regard to protests that could make them less and less effective. We have to exercise your rights, but exercise your rights within the bounds of the law. Don't ruin the party for everyone else.
This is the thing. Protest is meant to be disruptive, yes, but what are you disrupting? And who is harmed in the process, right, is the question. If international trade is harmed in the protests, that's not really good for anybody in the country now, is it? Makes us both look like a laughing stock, and it also is disruptive to the trade process. Somebody said, why are we trading with her? She's a fascist. Yes, she is a fascist. Italy's prime minister is a fascist. But we have trade agreements with them.
That preceded her arriving and that will last after she's gone.
Exactly. So we still have to deal with the government.
Yeah. And you don't violate international law just because you don't like who is the premier or the prime minister or the leader at the time.
You can't let your personal feelings get involved when it comes to that. You have to do the right thing for your country and for the trade agreement that you are bound contractually and legally to. So I know people were upset by, them meeting, but what are you going to do? It's a scheduled event. We have trade agreements with them. We have a lot of Italian Canadians in this country.
I mean,
you can't just tell her, look, I don't like your politics. Get lost. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but he's a fellow G7 nation, and
that's the other
thing. And an ally. And we might not like how the people of Italy voted in their last federal election, but it was, by all accounts, a democratically held election that respected the rules and. Well, that's who they picked. We have to deal.
Yeah. We don't like it at all.
Yeah. We just have to deal. The prime minister let her know yet again, not particularly keen on what it is that she's doing to gay people. Mm-hmm. That's about pretty much all that we can do unless we're going to start imposing sanctions on an ally.
an ally who is not invading a nation, by the way.
Yep. And standing with us, at least on that.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a sticky situation, of course, there. Mr. Grizzly, oh, I forgot one thing, but I'll save it for the Easter egg. Do we have a show?
Yeah, you got to get rolling.
I got to get rolling, and things here are still not cooperating at the speed that I need to. We'll be grateful for the time that we had, that technology did work with us, and hope that tomorrow will be a better day when it comes to producing a show for you. Kits and Cubs, that's the end of this episode of the Daily Beaver Morning Show here on the Cryer Media Network. We hope that you love listening to us because we love making this for you. Remember that sharing is caring, so please tell your peeps and poops all about us. We really appreciate that very much. If you would like to subscribe and make sure you don't miss an episode, you don't have to, thanks to the Ray Girl. If you scan that QR code right underneath my chin, that will bring you to our pod page. That's podpage.com/the True North Eager Beaver lowercase letters with a hyphen between each one of those words. And when we have something fresh off the bandwidth, we will come directly to you. If you'd like to support us in other ways, the QR code right by Mr. Grizzly's head brings you to our True North Eager Beaver Media YouTube page, where there you can lick all of our buttons, like, share, and subscribe. Click them all. We like that when you play with our buttons. It makes us feel very happy. So click them, tweak them, do what you want. Just make sure you go there and add to our numbers. We really appreciate that. Thank you. And if you'd like to support us in other ways, then you can make a donation to the Eager Beaver Lodge Emergency Hydration Fund by going to our Ko-fi page or scanning the QR code that just appeared by Mr. Grizzly's head. That's Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/eagerbeaver, lowercase letters, all in one word. And whatever you put in there will be greatly appreciated and helps us produce a better show for you. So thank you very much for all of that. Let's see, because democracy is something that you do. If you're in the Durham region, please go vote. And remember that friends do not let friends do democracy alone. So bring a friend or two with you, particularly bring some friends that maybe did not vote last time. Some first-time voters, get them into the habit. It's a good habit to get into. And if you have a little bit of time, go to the HamiltonHelps.org. I think it's .com or .org. I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm so sorry. But look up Hamilton Helps and the petition, and please sign that to try and encourage our officials to open up the armories as warming centers to keep our fellow Canadians warm during the day, not only at night at shelter time, because cold is cold. All right. From the Beaver Lodge, this is your Eager Beaver saying it could be a tough world out there, so please be kind to and gentle with yourself. And if you're not feeling well, like Mr. Grizzly and I am, if you have an opportunity for some self-care, please do take it. Mr. Grizzly, do you have some words of wisdom, please?
Take your vitamins and get some sleep. I got nothing. I don't know how I'm going to work today. It's going to be difficult, but I'll make it.
All right. And Kits and Cubs, it looks like I will be the guest tonight on Black Bald. So Kit James sent me an invitation and I've accepted. Around 8 o'clock tonight, I will be there. Yeah, tune in if you have the time. It's going to be weird being the person who is interviewed rather than interviewing.
I'm going to try and do an ASMR at...
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'll see how I'm feeling at 9 o'clock. It's scheduled. Whether I'm up for it or not is another story, but hopefully I'll have the energy to do it, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Mr. Grizzly, please cue the rooster.
Second here, I just gotta go and find it because I'm a little out of it right now.
You are listening to a True North Eager Beaver Media Incorporated podcast. The True North Eager Beaver podcasts are proudly brought to you by our founding sponsors, the Misfit Mysteries from Corvid Moon Publishing, your source for science fiction, fantasy, and cozy mysteries featuring a broad diversity of characters. CanadianTarot.com, their uniquely Canadian online eclectic tarot community, and the Peppermaster, hot pepper sauces made from farm-fresh ingredients to thrill your taste buds and expand your mind. We are grateful to the Cryer Media Network for its support, Pete Jarvis for our artwork, and Paul Joseph Something for our opening and closing sequence music. right, just two little bits of news. One, if you're a soccer fan, the Canadian women's soccer team is competing at the CONCACAF for the Gold Cup title. They went 3-0 in the regular rounds, not giving up a goal. They played the quarterfinal against Costa Rica. They needed some extra time to get that 1-0 victory, but they still have not allowed a goal. Their semifinal will be against the United States, which is ranked number 2 in the world, where our team is ranked number 10. And the other semifinal is between Brazil and Mexico, going for a championship cup there. We're going to wish good luck to our women. And yes, Kits, I'm sorry I didn't mention it earlier, I should have, but a friend of our show, Lachlan Cross, we found out on Friday, just got dumped from his morning show. Yeah, Cruise FM. It seems that you don't get 2 or 3 weeks warning. You just wake up one day and say, no, you have no job anymore.
That's how it works in radio.
Yeah, he'll be on Dean's show this afternoon to talk about that. I think he's having a good approach. He's going to talk about it once, really in depth.
And then move on.
And then going to try to let it go and move on.
Here's something from luck.
Yeah, there you go.
The guy that runs my merch page thought this would be funny. It's up. It's a thing. I'll put the link below.
So if you want to go to Lachlan's merch page.
All right. Hello, Madame Fox. I see you back there.
Yeah, I find that he's very bossy right now. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you so much, everybody, for being so supportive and kind. And I have an expression that I think is pretty good. It's just, honestly, I'm feeling way better than he is. He feels like caca. But when in doubt, soup it out. Just make soup. Those are my words of wisdom for the day.
I can't have any more soup.
Stop making soup. I'm like,
you're too close to the mic. Sorry. You're too close to the mic. It's 3 inches. 3 inches.
I find that's bossy, honestly. But you need, if you're sick today, because honestly, half of everybody I know is sick. It's like you pump the garlic, the onions, and the lemon. And that's why he's just like, stop feeding me soup. Like, what?
Yes.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Right. And I'm sending my love. Friday was a little rough. People weren't letting you speak.
You know what? I honestly, I don't mind.
Okay.
She steals my mic, so she won't let me speak on the show I produce.
All right, Kits and Cubs. Have a great day.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of 5 podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundel from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.